It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Over the last few years, there's been an explosion in at-home genetic testing. Direct-to-consumer genetic testing company 23andMe reports having more than 5 million customers now. And according to Ancestry DNA, roughly 7 million people have taken their tests. Are you one of them?
Bob from Escondido, California.
Nan Holcomb, calling from Seattle, Washington.
Hi, I live in San Francisco, California.
Rhonda, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I sent my DNA into Ancestry.com. I'm African American, and I have very limited information about my family prior to the migration from the South to the Northwest. So it was great to learn details about where my family came from in Africa and to connect with third and fourth cousins I never knew I had. I also learned where my reddish-brown hair and freckles come from.
I found out that I'm half Jewish and have a father I never knew about. Big surprises for me.
Considering my entire life, I had been told that I was quarter Cherokee Indian, and we were card-carrying members of the Cherokee Nation. It was quite a surprise when I did the genealogy test and found out that I was, in fact, 98% Northern European and 2% Sub-Saharan African. When I presented my family with the information, they just flat out denied it and said it was wrong.
I found my birth family through a DNA match on an online service. I was absolutely flabbergasted to see that one of my cousins and I could be twins. And looking at a picture of him was the first time I ever saw my face looking back at me.
Consumers are flocking to these tests to learn about distant relatives and family origins. Pharmacist Julie Kennerly-Shaw and her husband ordered the test from 23andMe back in July of 2016.
We were just dating at the time and thought that it would be a fun thing to do together. We were looking for the fun answers, such as, you know, what is your ancestry? Are you more or less likely to be an elite athlete? Those types of responses, in addition to any actionable health items that may have arose.
Julie and her husband also uploaded their data to a third-party site, Prometheus. And that's where the story shifts from family origins to those actionable health items that Julie was talking about there. Prometheus is a company that analyzes DNA for disease risks. And when they got their initial results back, there was nothing out of the ordinary. But months later, during a medical mission trip in Africa, they logged back in.
And at that time, I had two actionable items that were considered high severity. One of those was for Lynch syndrome. And Lynch syndrome is something that I've had a significant experience with at the James Cancer Hospital, because it does put you at a much greater risk for having colon cancer and also ovarian cancer. I was more nervous about my offspring. I think my husband was definitely more concerned that, hey, wait a minute, this means you have an 80% chance in a lifetime of developing colorectal cancer. And so he was really concerned about my health and wanted to make sure that I was seen by a genetics counselor as soon as possible to determine next steps.
Julie met with a genetics counselor from James Cancer Hospital, where she works, and got her results reanalyzed. And when the new results came back, they were negative. The Prometheus results had been a false positive. The experience was unsettling for Julie and her husband, but she says that at least her medical expertise worked to her advantage in this case.
I knew exactly who to contact and felt extremely fortunate that I knew someone who specialized in genetics and Lynch syndrome specifically, that worked at the place that I worked, and felt very comfortable emailing her directly right away and getting an appointment set up. And so I certainly think having a knowledge of the healthcare system worked to my advantage and my ability to navigate kind of the aftermath of the initial positive result.
So in Julie's case, she had quite a bit of medical knowledge. She could handle all of the information coming at her. But how should consumers who don't have that type of medical expertise approach these genetic tests? We're going to talk to an expert about that next. We also reached out to 23andMe for comment on this story, and a spokesperson told us, "We are extremely confident in the accuracy and of the detailed results we provide to our customers. Our standard standard for accuracy is unmatched in the market, since 23andMe is the only consumer company to undergo FDA authorization, showing our test to be over 99.9% accurate. As we clearly state in our product, we do not recommend customers take 23andMe's raw, uninterpreted data to other third-party sites, as we cannot account for the accuracy of those services. Dr. Gail Jarvik is a professor of medicine and genome sciences and head of medical genetics at the University of Washington. She spoke with me about some of the differences between clinical genetic tests and recreational genetic tests like the ones that Julie Kennerly-Shaw took.
23andMe is now offering, in addition to their ancestry and find your relative services, some medical information. And that medical information is risk of some genetic diseases. There are risks of Alzheimer's is one of the possibilities, hemochromatosis. More recently, they've added breast cancer, but only variants that are common in the Ashkenazi Jewish population. So that test as offered is not really relevant for people who are not of Ashkenazi ancestry, which is something we find that people don't understand when they order the test.
So then a lot of this goes to not only the volume of information and counseling that people get when they get results of these tests, but also the quality of that information. What do you have to say?
Well, my concern is that people don't really understand what they're ordering, and they don't understand the results when they get them. And that's the bigger problem. In general, I'm very much a free the data person, and I think people have the right to their own genomic information. But our experience is that people don't understand what they're buying. And we have particular concerns for people who have a family history of disease who should really seek medical care to make sure they get the exact right test. And then on the flip side, people who were very upset to hear they have an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease when there's not a lot you can do to lower that risk. And again, they didn't really understand what they were purchasing. So they purchased, you know, concern and worry.
Right. So, Dr. Jarvik, we're getting lots of context and facts from you today. You know, genetic counseling is a very well-developed field. Of course, genetic counselors operate right along with what you do in your clinical and research work. Are there any of the principles of risk communication or genetic counseling operating in this industry right now? Or is it just a matter of pouring genetic tests back onto a consumer? You tested positive for this breast cancer gene, and then they have to come to you at your office or a dinner party to find out what it means.
Yeah, there's very little genetic counseling that will happen through these companies simply because they have such a large scale business. And genetic counseling, frankly, is expensive. And so at the cost of these tests, you know, really thorough genetic counseling that contextualizes the result for you and your family is not part of the package. And that if you have a test that raises a real health concern, coming to a medical professional is going to be needed, and, you know, health insurance or out-of-pocket payment to cover that is going to be needed. It's something in genetics that matters for your entire family, not just for the person who had the test. So there's a lot more information that has to be gained. And as you say, I think a lot of people aren't aware of genetic counseling as a profession. These are individuals who are board certified, who have master's level training in communicating genetic information to families. And it is a very important service for people who have genetic disorders. Unfortunately, there's a shortage of genetic counselors and genetics physicians nationally. And so one thing we're trying not to do is be flooded by people who just want their recreational genetics results explained to them.
Well, Dr. Jarvik, you're a clinician, not a bureaucrat, but do you think more regulation is needed here?
I think more education is probably needed here. I think that people need to understand what they're buying, and they need to understand the results that they're getting and what the limitations are. I think the companies aren't really interested in telling you a lot about the limitations because it makes their product less valuable. So, you know, I can't speak to regulation, but, you know, I think education is something that is really important in this field.
Dr. Gail Jarvik, professor of medicine and genome sciences at the University of Washington. Dr. Jarvik, great to have you.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.